Hey, Regen. My name is Jeff. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from guilt and shame, anger, and pornography. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give this time to you for your name to be glorified and draw us into an intimate relationship with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. It was the height of the economic crash of 2010. I could not have dreamt in my worst nightmares that I would be in the situation I was in. On the surface, I had an amazing wife, two great kids in high school, and a very successful architectural career. On the inside, I was racked with fear of losing everything I had worked so hard for, while flashbacks of my childhood tortured my subconscious day and night. I had put my marriage at extreme risk with past and present sins affecting our health, our intimacy, and our future as a family. As I sat on the floor of our kitchen, my present and past merged in waves of sobs, fear, and anger. But actual relief that as I confessed to my wife, only at her prodding, and the revelation of the effects of my present sins, known and unknown to her. So backing up, the innocence of my childhood ended early growing up with alcoholic parents in a predominantly Catholic neighborhood. We were a minority Protestant family with two parents disillusioned by their past experiences with the church in their own families. One of my neighborhood teenage heroes lived across the street, the epitome of strength, talent, and popularity, and our families became very close. So it was the ultimate shock and the devastating loss of innocence when he began sexually abusing me at the age of 5 and continued intermittently as he babysat for us for about a year until my younger brother was born. It's still difficult to explain the effects on my psyche, but I can say that it did change my life forever. Left me feeling ashamed, guilty, confused, angry, and asking, why me? He threatened and shamed me into not saying a word. So I stuffed the memories deep inside that trunk in the back room of the attic of my mind, not ever to be revisited. But the problem is those feelings of being less than, unworthy, unloved, dirty, would leak out of the trunk repeatedly at the most inopportune times. By age 11, I was effectively running the home as my mom was deep in her alcoholic descent and my dad drank and lashed out at his family, all the while keeping up appearances to the outside world. I would think, if I could just make it right, if I could just hide the alcohol or pour it out or make everything perfect at home, mom and dad would not get drunk and fight and they'd be there for us, the three boys, and we'd be more like all the other perfect families. But that was the alternate fantasy world I began to create, far from the harsh reality. I became the belligerent fixer. My older brother shut it out, and my younger brother was too young to understand. My survival was dependent upon creating the illusion of perfection, which ingrained in me and began the unhealthy trap of performance-based behavior in academics and sports. So this gave me notoriety in school, but at the same time, I was afraid of those deep relationships, especially with girls, and my hidden past insecurities constantly influenced my actions. I felt as if my abuse was written across my forehead. So I continued my parallel world where everything was perfect in my own mind. With each move we made, the promise of a better job for Dad, traveling from the mountains to the desert, to the coast, to the Caribbean, came the same disappointment and behavior on his part. But for me, it was a chance to reinvent myself. However, my past continued to haunt me, and my self-reliance, perfection, anger, and control would leave me feeling alone even when I was surrounded by new friends. Moving ahead, after a three-year, mostly long-distance relationship in college, my world came crashing down. My dad lost his job at the peak of his career. Money was gone. My relationship ended badly, and I was fully on my own again. So God was at work, unbeknownst to me, tearing down every unhealthy stone in the wall that I built up over my 23 years. Throughout that next summer, I had a construction job building a sewage treatment plant, which is about how I felt. But while I was there, I met two college students working alongside me. One was a family friend from long ago, and the other a friend of the contractor. So I would ride to work with them each day and notice that something was very different in their lives. They were content. They were excited about each day going to work in a sewage treatment plant. I was miserable and wallowing in self-pity. They started to share the very first day on the job how I could have a peace, an eternal peace in Jesus. And that the gift of eternal life was free if I would just transfer my trust of eternal life from me to Christ and trust He alone for my salvation. Well, that was a new and scary concept to give control away because I had spent my whole life controlling every situation. But God had prepared me for that moment because He had removed all the stones in my wall and my wall was almost gone. By the fourth day on the job, I transferred my trust from myself to Jesus, and I was discipled by those two guys the rest of the summer in that sewage treatment plant at lunchtime. Out of the dust and waste comes new life and freedom. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." So flash forward and marriage at 30 to the love of my life, two healthy, thriving kids, and a great career I was passionate about. Yet I had never disclosed my abuse to anyone, not even Gail. I tried so many times to bring it up, but I thought incorrectly that she would surely reject me. I would be unlovable if she found out, so no one will find out. No one could understand. I was ashamed, and I believed that God would heal me if I was just better at following Him. If I was just more spiritual, I was being deceived by my own mind games. So life was good until the kids began growing up and my calm exterior was replaced with bouts of anger when life was not in my control, which when you have small kids was pretty much all the time. And an entitlement attitude leaked in as worldly success and pressures of the job increased. Then the sudden death of my mom at age 60, who was by then in a successful long-term recovery and walking with the Lord, shook me to the core. The past was now my responsibility, and I did not cope well. The pressure was building, and the trunk was banging against the door of the room in the attic. At this point, I turned briefly to pornography, and intimacy with my wife was immediately negatively affected. She noticed and confronted me. And I dismissed it, stuffed it back into the past, not confessing the root cause. She would sometimes ask me if there was anything more to my past than what I had revealed, but I would deny it each time and change the subject. So there we sat on a Sunday evening after my Saturday confession to Gail, with me revealing everything to a couple in our community group, at Gail's insistence, not my own. I was ashamed, I was embarrassed, I was mortified of losing my wife. Because of my sin, we had become that couple in community, potentially on stage, dealing with their issues. That was my biggest fear. And I just wanted to serve in the background. But there was a difference. We were treated with love and grace by our community group. After then meeting with just the men in my group separately and confessing fully to all of them. On a Sunday night, I went alone to Regen the next evening. I was fearful of the journey that lie ahead, but at the same time, a tremendous burden had been lifted now that my story and my sin was in the light. I knew I belonged. I was fully aware of my deep need to be here at that moment. After 45 long years of hiding, I was where I needed to be. And there were lots of other guys who were there with me, beside me. So a huge burden began to be lifted as I started sharing with others why I was there. I immediately felt accepted and cared for. It seemed to take forever to get into a step group. But God used each Monday night to remove every remaining stone in that wall that I had deliberately built for 50 years. Every testimony and shared story resonated and showed me that I was not terminally unique. Imagine. And God really does love me always and wants me to simply follow him and be in the light. My regen scripture that I claimed that first week was 1 John 1:5. This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. My step group was supportive. My leaders were just who I needed them to be. And I moved forward, focused on becoming well and whole, a better husband and dad, someone that could be loved, as I realized at the core I had never felt fully loved or accepted by God or others, everyone besides my wife. I discovered my core issues of guilt and shame, anger and pornography were deeply rooted in my past. And though the abuse that was in no way my fault led to my present sin and I had never dealt with it, I needed to heal, I needed to amend and learn how to follow Christ fully. I wish I could say I did everything perfectly, but life doesn't often imitate a 60-minute TV drama. Looking back, I left out Gail fully experiencing the journey with me, only sharing bits of what I was feeling. I left her unsatisfied with the amends process and wondering if I was getting it all out so I could be fully healed. I was very serious about the process, reading the Word, my step book, and three other books about healing from sexual abuse and about following Christ. A huge epiphany occurred when I came to realize that God forgave and fully loved me as I was that day. He could not love me more or less, and he had died for all of my sins, past, present, and future. That may sound obvious, but I also discovered that I had never felt fully and completely loved by anyone. Despite Gail's unconditional love, illustrated by her desire to walk beside me through this mess, the chains were finally released, and I could feel them fall to the ground. I was loved by God. I was unconditionally loved by Jesus. He revealed it through my wife's daily behavior towards me, and it blew me away. For the first time in my life, I could see a path to actually loving myself through God's eyes, which I had not ever experienced. The anger was visibly receding. I was giving control to Jesus, but the pornography leading to sexual addiction was a tough struggle, and I fell during that year on a business trip, showing up in an adult video store. As I confessed this to my wife, the disappointment on her face rocked me once again, and I knew that this was, of all the sins, would crater our marriage if I did not release it fully. I came to realize that it was a symptom for ultimate control and an escape from the pressures of daily life. It was the lion cub that was fully grown and devouring me as I allowed my flesh to take control. Through minute-by-minute prayer, accountability for my community group of guys, and the unconditional love of my wife, although sometimes tough, I began to realize that control while living in the present, not focusing on the past or what lies in the future, I began to experience small victories by releasing that control. And then longer consistent times as I followed Christ, sometimes minute by minute, and desire to escape subsided. Soon after I completed Regen, I was approached about co-leading a group. Gail and I had prayed about it, and she thought it was a great idea to go through the process again, which was code for you need to heal more and make further amends. Of course, she was right. I led with one of my step leaders, and it was a huge test of faith and forever deepening of my trust in God. I saw Christ transform all of us that year, me for the second time, bringing one guy on his deathbed back to life physically and spiritually, one who had given up, led back to the group, and one who's a leader here today. Ironically, at work, a few of my partners noticed changes within me. In Genesis 39:4, it says, "So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had." Our firm was decimated by the real estate and banking collapse of 2008. We were strategically reorganizing in an industry which was in upheaval. But I was calm only because I was fully walking with Christ. I could see our path forward and had a peace that passes all understanding. I was able to share my journey with my partner, who is now our CEO. And I know I would not be leading our health sector had I not completed my regen journey and continued to desperately be dependent upon Christ for my daily journey in life, at work and at home. Don't get me wrong, it's not a recipe for business success. However, it gave me the courage to become more transparent with my peers. It also has filled me with a whole new attitude towards my work, a love for all of our staff, and the outlook that I am truly working for the Lord every day, no matter where I am or who I am with. Gail saw changes in me as well, but she was shaken to her core, justifiably so. With clear parameters set, we are moving forward in our journey together. I'm trying to share more, yet I'm still challenged to share the dark feelings when they arise. Falling into the fear mode occasionally, but working on that. Relying on God's word and not my own understanding for the reality of situations, and also counting on my wife for godly guidance when it gets clouded by my judgmental nature. My community of guys challenges and holds me accountable when I act out in anger or entitlement. And Gail is bold to question my actions or thoughts. Being almost empty nesters has been rejuvenating as well as enjoyable, bringing back that joy, that spontaneity, that intimacy that had been regulated for years. I'm maximizing my relationship with our adult children as well as I grow into a friend advisor role, being careful to ask permission to give advice. Not perfect either, but a work in progress. I'm quick to ask forgiveness when I cross the line in anger or control. Forgiveness of my abuser has been a rough journey. I can say now that I've forgiven him. I have written him a couple letters, which was very healing to me, but I've never sent them. Also a work in progress. Regens is a means for God to breathe truth, illumination, and life into our lives. We are all here for a reason, and I believe it is His perfect design that we are sharing this journey together right now. Please be encouraged that if the Lord of the universe cares enough to transform this 56-year-old guy who stuffed his junk in a trunk in the attic for way too long, He cares deeply for you. Wherever you are right here today, He loves you, and His deepest desire is for you to follow Him desperately. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Thanks for letting me share.